Okay, good to see everybody. Good to be back learning Mesillas Yesharim after a 1 week hiatus. We're starting Perek Yud Aleph, and just to recap again, because we talked about Perek Yud 2 weeks ago, and stuff that Kedai to kind of recap. We had started, right, Mesillas Yesharim starts out with the Mida of Zahiros, which is avoiding Isurim. And then it goes to Zerizos, which is the Mida of kind of being Zaris and kind of putting an effort to go and do mitzvos. And then it talked about Nikius, which was, we talked about literally translated as cleanliness, which doesn't do us any good. But what it means is basically the Isurim, which a person rationalizes. Right? The Isurim that a person, we know that people know that things are Aser, but they perhaps will rationalize them based on their own intellect and their desires, etc. So we had pointed out that if Zahiros is making us avoid Averos, like they're poison, so what's the point of, what's the point of Nikias? And Nikias, again, is something that is murkier, right? We know to be quote-unquote clean means that for the Averos that we know are Usur, but they're like 50% Usur, even though you know to avoid 50% poison, but so we rationalize that these things are quote-unquote good for us, right? There's a unique Yetzirah to do such things. So that's the Ramchal starts with, starts Perek Yud Aleph, right? He says, Prati ha-Nikiyus Rabim Heim, right? Heim Ma'od, right? The details of Nikiyus, of cleanliness, right? I hate translating cleanliness, so we'll just use it as Nikiyus, right? Are many. And he says that basically they're based on all of the Yisurim. Every Yisur has some sort of special Yetzirah, right, that in the scenario that a person, right, can rationalize, oh, maybe I should do this. Like, for example, right now I don't have any taiva to wear shatnez, but if for whatever reason I saw a nice piece of clothing that had shatnez in it, so then I would be tempted, right? I would think, well, maybe it's not so us, or etc., right? Then the Yetzirah gets started. But some of Eros, says Ramchal, are more taivadik. Those are more desirable. The human nature is such, right, that we want them very much, and therefore our brains will rationalize them even more. And so those require a special effort, extra strength. And the first two that we're going to talk about today, I struggled how to break this down because it's really, it's like 30 pages. So the first two we're going to talk about today are Geneva and theft, and Arayos, and inappropriate relationships. So that's, again, the Ramchal quotes the Gemara here in the second paragraph. If you're following along, it's page 57 in the Mesillas Yesharim, and at least in the Feldheim edition. So it really goes Gemara in Chagiga that we've mentioned, or not this one, I'm sorry, we haven't mentioned this one yet. Kezav Arayos Nafsho Shel Adam Mechab Dosam Mitavi Lohem, right, that the man's nature is drawn towards theft and inappropriate relationships. So let's move on to the first one. Theft are under, as you're going to see, we there are general categories that we'll talk about, meaning people don't actually go out and think, oh, I'm going to go steal an old lady's purse. People don't actually go out and think, oh, I'm going to grab my neighbor's wife. But as you'll see, he's going to kind of delineate, right, how all of these halachos have many details inside of them, and those are very, very much related to our everyday. So let's just v'nei anachnu roim in the third paragraph. Shafal pi rov bnei adam ganavim shalol rov bnei adam ganavim begaluyim. That's what he says. That we see that even though most people are not, right, highway robbers, right, most people are not stealing out in the open. But right, however, afal pikein, however, just to skip a line, rubam toimim tam geneva. Fascinating language. Most of them taste the flavor of geneva. B'masam u'matanam. In Maso Matan, which means in business. Masha Yoru, Heter, La'atzman, people decide that things are mutter for themselves. Lishtaker, Ishbev, Seder, Shochavero, to become more wealthy at the expense of their friend. Right? Fascinating. Right? Well, once people, 99% of Jews would be like, I would never steal something outright from somebody. But once you get to the realm of business, it's all of a sudden, all's fair in business. Right, people rationalize this is the norm of the business practices. This is what everybody does. And people all of a sudden are benefiting from your friend's loss, downfall, etc. And as we're going to see in a second, there are a lot of Isurim, right? The next paragraph, he says there are a lot of Isurim associated with this. Lo Tignov, Lo Tigzol, Lo Sashok if you lend money to someone, you shouldn't bother them. Lo Shakru, don't lie. Al Tanuish Zachir, Al Sigvurehu, right? He quotes a bunch of Isurim, right? There are a tremendous amount of halachos that are relevant in business. And a lot of these practices aren't even necessarily outlawed by the countries that we're living in, right? But and that makes it even more harder because, you know, everybody's doing it, but they could as well be usur in halacha. Right? It quotes a fascinating pasuk, not in this paragraph, but the next paragraph quotes a fascinating pasuk in Yechezkel. The Yechezkel there is distinguishing between a tzaddik and a rasha. So he says that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he quotes his pasuk. How does Yechezkel distinguish between a tzaddik and a rasha? So one of the things he says, "Ves ishes reyehu lo time." He didn't take his neighbor's wife. So shkoyach. That makes a person a tzaddik. So the Gemara there in Sanhedrin explains that it's not talking about arayos, which we'll get to later today. It's talking about business. It's talking about someone who didn't overreach and encroach on his friend's business. That's a tzaddik. Because it's a tremendous yitzhar to do so, certainly, if you're in the same field. And it's not only on the employer side, it's also on the employee side. Right? He says, if you skip a couple of paragraphs over here, etc. Meaning that a poel, if you look at it's fascinating. If you look at the parallels in halacha between someone who's been hired for their time, right, and an eved, right, there are very few differences. Right? Once a person is hired for their time, your time is not his or hers. Right? The extent that Gemara Brachos says, it quotes over here, that a worker, that's what he just quoted, is a worker is putter from saying a bracha rishona and a derabanan brachos and benching. Right? Benching is daraisa, but there are certain brachos and benching that are derabanan. The Gemara says that a worker who is hired, let's say for an hour, to pick apples in a field, does not say hamotzi, does not say the harachamans after he benches. Right? Even for a few moments, right, he shouldn't take away from working for his employer. Right? Even say kriyishma, he says, he quotes right here, I feel kriyishma, lo chivim levatam levachan der parsha rishona bilvadi, only says the first parsha. Right? Anything else, right, is to say more than that would be theft, because the guy hired you for an hour to pick apples. And then the Ramchal drops the hammer, kal v'chomer, ben benoshel kal v'chomer, certainly the divrei harishus, for something that is not a mitzvah. Right? Again, I would imagine most people, when they're working, have their phones or whatever nearby, internet browser up, etc., and, you know, every few minutes to take a peek. Now, again, nowadays business practices, I don't want to speak, I'm not in business, I don't know what the accepted and even stated, permissibilities are for people who are working at a computer, let's say for 6 hours straight. I'd imagine that the boss would be very open and happy for them to take a few minutes to refresh and recharge their brain. But that should be explicit. Right? If someone's hiring you for an hour, right, it's an hour. And to the point where Chazal said you shouldn't even do mitzvos to Rabbanan, kal v'chomer, something that you should just kind of like, you know, take a phone call, etc. Right? Shekol socher yom aser bahen shalo levatam alachtu ba'al bayis v'chein avar harezik aslan. If a person does that, if a person takes away from the time of his employer, so that's theft, right? What's the difference between taking an item and taking someone's time? Right? The Ramchal illustrates, quotes the Gemara in Tainus, there's a guy named Abba Chilkia, and the rabbi, he's a tremendous tzaddik, and the rabbis came to him to daven for rain. And he said he didn't even respond to them to say hi, because he was working. He didn't even acknowledge them, because he was so busy working. Right? If you flip the page, Nun Test, page 59, he quotes Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, and passionately to Lavan, when Lavan chases him down, says, why'd you run away with my kids, etc. Yaakov has this fascinating discourse that we actually don't hear about until Yaakov says something. But he says, listen, when I was watching your sheep, I was the most honest ever. In the daytime, I didn't drink anything. I couldn't. At night, I was freezing. I didn't sleep. There was ice. There was snow. It was fascinating. If I'm not mistaken, the first place snow is mentioned in the Torah. It's like a trivia question. But like Yaakov is saying, like I literally didn't. Nothing stopped me. There were no excuses. I was working. I was so honest. Like that has to be our attitude. Right? There needs to be a real mechila, a stated mechila. If you're going to be working for someone, right, and for you to go on your phone for 10 minutes in the middle of an hour, if you're getting paid hourly, if you're getting paid to do a job and he doesn't, and the employer doesn't care when you get the job done, fine. But if you're getting paid hourly, an hourly wage, so a person's time is not his. A person's time belongs to the employer. There really should be a stated mechila, not an assumed kind of like, oh, I'm sure they'll be fine with it. If a person rents themselves out to the day, right, any time you take for yourself, if they're paying you for your time, is geneva. And we obviously, and this is what the Rambam Kahal is saying, this is a type of geneva and theft that we rationalize all the time. Right? Certainly, all the time. I myself definitely included. I remember when I was working a 9-to-5 sitting at a computer, this open and that open, and I got my job done here and job done there. The person rationalized that all the time. So kill a shadavar. So the rule is, as he says, and again, the second paragraph on page 59, right, that if a person is hired out for hours, the hours are hired out. And even to do a mitzvah, the power of rationalization, that's what we're talking about, that nikiyus is avoiding rationalizing these inappropriate behaviors. Certainly to do a mitzvah. Right, so he quotes over here. Where is it? That's that paragraph. Oh, the next paragraph. Yeah. Lolitztaket techashiv lo elaveira yibiyado. If a person stops his work to do a mitzvah, so it's not a mitzvah, it's an avera. Right, as he says, sone gezel. Okay, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Right, again, so basically that this is what he's saying, that we have to combat this power of rationalization. And again, he quotes a Gemara in Bava Kama that says a person can't make a bracha on stolen goods, right? It's not a bracha. It's a blasphemy is the bad translation of, no, it's Hashem. But okay, whatever. He says again, what's the difference between stolen goods and stolen time? Right? It's, and that's what he quotes over here, that Ein Kosh Baruch Hu Chafetz at Ela B'Emuna. Kosh Baruch Hu wants not necessarily emuna in the sense of emuna bitachon, but he wants our faith. And he wants to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is our ishtalos, that we put in work, and the work we do should be honest. Just to get to page 60, right? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Second paragraph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our emunah. He's quoting a bunch of psukim here from Chazal. Right, and he quotes a fascinating pasuk about Iyuv. Right, Iyuv says beautifully about his own righteousness. Iyuv was a goy, according to many opinions. He says, let's just find the pasuk over here. Right, in the third paragraph, in tita ashiri mini haderech, right, v'achar einai halach libi v'chapai davak ma'um. Right, again, the second part of the what I just wanted to mention, achar einai halach libi, after my eyes went my heart, v'chapai davak ma'um, and all of a sudden my hands are sticky, are grabbing things. Meaning, he says, it's a progression. A person starts looking with their eyes seek out, the heart finds reasons to justify taking the items. Right, and again, through the eyes and the heart, right, you have these aterium, a person is mora heter, a person decides that these things are mutter, and all of a sudden, somehow it ends up in a person's hands. If I were to ask you, should you take money from this person, of course you would say no, but through a person's eyes, through a person's heart, right, you don't go steal it outright, but there's some corner cutting, and all of a sudden, you end up with a person's money, time, etc. So, on page, the bottom of page Samach over here, so he now turns to something called Ona. Now, Ona has several manifestations in Halacha. One of them is overcharging. That if, let's say, the Halacha is that if a person overcharges for an item 1/6 more than market value. So let's say market value for something is $6 and you charge $7. So legally, in Halacha, the buyer is allowed to nullify the sale and say, too much, you charge me too much. That's Ona. There's something called Ona's Dvarim, which is kind of like misleading someone. But Ona, basically, just in the vernacular, Ona is cheating in business. Right? Ona is cheating anything that is fraudulent, anything that is defrauding of a potential buyer, partner, etc., etc. We're going to spend a page or two on this, or three. Cheating in business is extremely underrated. The Torah calls it a toiva, calls it an abomination, right? I think the toiva and the abomination that is obviously most famous and gets the most play are the ones that have to do with immorality. But the Torah calls several things an abomination. One of them is cheating in business. And I feel like people just don't talk about it. On the flip side, this is one of the things that the Torah promises long life for, right? There are three things that the Torah promises long life. The two of them are famous. right? Kibud Avim and Shiloh Haken, sending away the mother bird and you know, honoring your parents. The third one is being honest in business, having even weights. They used to weigh things, right? They used to figure out payment, they used to weigh, right? And figure out that way. So having even weights, Torah says at the end of Kiseitze, is something that you get long life for, right? So being honest in business is very probably underrated in how serious it's drawn and discussed in the Torah. So that's what he turns to now. In terms of the concept of Onah, it's so easy, says Ramchal, right? Nakel adam lipatod lukashel. It's so easy for a person to be seduced and to fall, right, in this area, in kind of defrauding your friend. Because again, think about it, how the line is very blurry between making your produce or your merch look good and lying and defrauding a potential buyer, right? It's very blurry. Right, again, on the one hand, a person is allowed to, I don't know, shine up their apples, right, and make their apples look nice, and you know, get a paint job on the car they're selling or whatever it is. That's mutter. You're allowed to, you know, make your merchandise look good, but you're not allowed to tell, it's kind of, you know, fake what something else is. You're not allowed to kind of defraud somebody. So where is the line? And when you're dealing with business and everybody's doing it, right, it's so easy to be enticed and succumb in this area. You know, to deceive, again, to make an apple look like a mango, right? That's a stupid example, but you know what I'm saying? That's obviously cheating. So you have to fight your Yitzhahara, right, to the umpteenth degree. And a person also has to study these halachos, right? Again, I'm not a bucky in these halachos. I'm not in business. But if you're going into business, you have to know what's motor and what's not. Again, for example, the quotes over here, the Gemara above the Metzia says, you can't make old utensils look new. Right? Okay, that you get. But you also, says the Gemara, you can't mix grain from one field with grain from another field, right? Even if it's all fresh, if the prices would be different. If you own a fruit store, you can't mix today's apples with yesterday's apples if you charge the same amount. Even if yesterday's apples would be a penny cheaper, you can't mix them, right? That's the pasuk kol ose ela ose ovel, right? Anyone who does this does an avera, right? And the Ramchal illustrates on, again, on, if you're following along, page 61 on the second paragraph. Again, kol gozel es chaveru afilu shava pruta kilu notel nafshu mimenu. If a person steals even a penny, it's as if he took his life. Now, what does that mean? Right? It took a person's life for a penny. So, first of all, Ramchal is pointing out that do a risk reward here. What are you really coming away with? A couple of pennies, and you end up with the avera of gezel. In addition, right? Again, a person, if someone is wealthy, and it's hard to imagine nowadays, Baruch Hashem, as we've been explaining, that there's just a ridiculous amount of wealth in the world. If you overcharge someone by a few pennies, tachlis is, it won't make or break them. Back then, people were not as wealthy. But even nowadays, many, many Jews were making very fine salaries, and because of whatever you want to call it, you know, gas prices, tuition prices, insurance prices, whatever it is, a lot of Jews are living month to month. Now you overcharge them on, I don't know, meat for Shabbos or whatever it is. Or that's not a good example, but let's say they don't have enough. Now they don't have enough money for gas. Now they don't have enough money to get this educational opportunity for their kids, and now they need to take a second job. Again, it seems dramatic, but these little amounts add up, and all of a sudden, right, you're taking someone's life, the time that they spend, the effort they put in. You've taken away from them hours of their lives and making them work harder for their livelihood. In addition, says Ramchal, that Akash Baruch Hu changes the natural order, right, for the worse if he sees that people are not careful about this. Right? Gemara Tanya says there will be less rain. Right? Again, because the rain was the key to people's parnasa. If people aren't dealing with their parnasa in a natural way, in an honest way, and doing their ishtadlus and realizing that their parnasa really comes from Akash Baruch Hu, so Akash Baruch Hu is like, okay, fine, so I'll withhold all the means by which you need to make a living. If you're going to cheat, so why should I give you the means to be able to cheat other people? Right? People needed rain for growth. Me to connect me though. You're going to overcharge people for the wheat that I gave you, so I'll give you less of it. Right? And if it gets really bad, like the Dora Mabel, right? Again, their fate was sealed because of Gezel. Again, what was going on over there, the Medrash says, that people would steal less than a Shavu Pruta. Right? You'd have a guy, you'd have a pile of nuts, or I forget the example of the Medrash, but a pile of nuts, let's say, and each kid would come and take one. So what are you going to do with one kid? It takes one. You can't yell. You can't, you know, I guess you could get a guard. But if everybody took one, you can't prosecute them. But all of a sudden, the guy has no produce to sell. The entire society crumbled because no one can make a living anymore. And Akash Baruch Hu destroyed them. So the question is, where do you draw the line? Right? Where is the line between clear and honest advertising of your excellent merch and violating the Isser of deceiving your customers? So Ramchal says what you might expect. That the line gets blurry, but the demarcation, the explanation of the line is not. And it's very clear. If a person does something to show the true value of your item, so that's fine. But if a person does something to hide something about an item, so that's oh no, that's fraud. Right? It's you're welcome to get a paint job. But if you tell someone that this car has, a 1.6 engine and has a 1.4 engine, or that the shocks were replaced last week and they were replaced 3 years ago, so that's lying. So, and that makes, and again, think about it, this makes a lot of sense. If Nikios, if this Mida is about taking yourself out of the picture, right, of taking away objectivity and making it as if you're looking at the situation from a third-party perspective, of course that's how you would define it. But of course, you'd say, if you're lying, it's wrong. If it's not, you're not lying and you're telling the truth about something, it's fine. But when you're the owner, right, once you're the balad boss, all of a sudden that line is very blurry. The rationalization takes away any objectivity that you might have. So you think that hiding a few flaws in the car or the house or whatever you're selling, that's just business. That's just good business. You're just a good salesman. Really, that's usher and that's geneva. It says Ramchal, he doesn't have to explain that straight up psukim. Right, for the psukim are very clear. He doesn't really have to, go on. But he says that it's usher. The pasuk says it's usher to skew your weights. Again, I said that as they used to, put produce on one side and have some sort of weights, and you could figure out the price. Again, he quotes the pasuk that it's a toeva, the cheating business. And similarly, taking interest on a loan. He says ribis. Right, if you're following along in the text, it's page 62 in the third paragraph. Right, there's a concept of interest. Interest is present everywhere in the world. Everybody takes interest. All banks take interest. Every loan, there is interest. Torah says, Jews should not take interest from fellow Jews. Gemara in Bava Metzia, Dafayin Aleph, right, says that, again, he quotes it over here, says you're a kofar b'elokei Yisrael. Right? You're a kofar, you're an apikores if you charge interest on a loan to your fellow Jew. Again, what's the idea? It's as if you're saying Akash Baruch is not watching and taking care of everybody's parnasa. Right? Every Jew is a brother to each other, and it's an obligation to help our brother, whether it's through tzedakah or interest-free loans. Right? If Akash Baruch Hu blessed you with a surplus of money and someone needs a loan, it's a tremendous mitzvah to give it to them. Right? It's probably not talked about often enough. A lot of people talk about tzedakah, but giving someone a loan is just as, if not even greater. Right? I personally have only lent real money, once or twice in my life. And I'm mitzvah shem, I'll be zochah to do it again. But to give someone a loan without ribbis, and that's very rationalized. A lot of people are like, what do you mean? It's normal business practice to lend someone, $100,000 and expect back $105,000. That's, they're using money. I could have used that money for something. Says the Torah, that's usher. Right? Even though we have a lot of rationalization. Bottom line, kilul shel davar, says the Ramchal, since there's so many areas where a person can be taking money from someone else in an improper manner, they have this tremendous yetzer hara in these areas, and a person needs to have this midah of nikios to kind of try and pull themselves out of their partiality and of their objectivity. Right? Again, we have to, as I said, I learned Mishnah Shem from David Miller, so he explained that we don't think that a person, just because there's an extra yetzer hara, that you have to abstain from these activities. That's not how the Torah wants us to live our lives. We have to deal with our Yetzer Hara head on, right? We don't run away and live alone and avoid these activities just because of an extra Yetzer Hara for, as we're talking about, theft and other things. But we have to deal with these challenges. So because of that, it says Ramchal, Iyun Gadol V'Dikduk Rav Tzarechlo, right? A person needs to spend a lot of time thinking about these things and kind of analyzing and being diligent. Unfortunately, as he says, this is not me talking. This is the Ramchal. There are many from people, right? I'm not talking about anybody specifically. I'm just literally reading the Ramchal. There are many from people who are very from and do many good things. I'll just read it in the text so you don't think I'm actually talking about like types of groups of people. Ki rabim yischastu ba'anafim rabim be'anfei chasidus. There are many people who, he's not talking about chasidim, he means a chasid isn't like someone who's like religious, right, or from, right, that's not what he's talking about. Ki rabim yischastu ba'anafim rabim be'anfei chasidus. There are a lot of people who are very from, but ve'inyan sinas ha'betza lo yochlu al-giyah el-machoz ha'shleimus. I like how he puts it, meaning, but in this realm, in terms of money and business, they are not able to reach that same level. That's how he puts it. basically, people have, unfortunately, rationalization, even though many people are very, very firm. But when it comes to money, all of a sudden, right, they're not able to defeat the rationalization, defeat the Yetzirah in this realm. Okay, so Vinei just finishes off the discussion about theft. I've only mentioned one mitzvah and all these details. And he says each mitzvah has its own pitfalls. Right? Again, he repeats that he reiterates that he's just going to mention the averus that people have a tremendous taiva and a tremendous desire and extra challenges in this realm. And that's how he shifts over to immorality. Right? Again, we might have thought that immorality would come first. If I would ask you, what is the isser that people have the most desire for, the most innate, inherent yitzhahara for, I think most of us would knee-jerk to arayos. All immediately say, arayos immorality. Says Ramchal, that may be true, but in terms of rationalization, again, that's the me that we're talking about over here, in terms of rationalization, it comes a little bit after theft. Right, as I said, this is the Gemara in Basra that we quoted before. Rubam bagezel umiyotom ba'arayos. That most people violate theft in some form or fashion. Less people violate arayos. And again, simply as we explained in Perek Yud, right, that it's much harder to rationalize arayos. If a couple is married, so they're married, they're forbidden, they're taken, they're off the market. That we have an ability to understand. Much harder to rationalize that. But there still are, as you'll see in a second, there are details that are protim within the arayos that unfortunately is much more common nowadays. And nowadays, I would just add that unfortunately, that our society has gotten to a point where that's not even so poshut, right? The concept of open relationships in non-Jewish, hopefully, circles, that certainly even being married is not as off the table as it used to be. And certainly before the couple is married, when people were in high school, anything can be rationalized. I remember I had a cousin who came to me and was talking, this is a long time ago, I was like 25, just first married. He was talking about how, you know, he rationalized when he was younger, you know, he felt bad that he talked to girls. Because how is he going to know how to talk to girls when he's on later in life? And he was like, it was very cute. It was very innocent, and like he couldn't believe that he rationalized that he talked to girls earlier, as opposed to, you know, later when it was only for marriage. Long story short, whatever. God bless that guy. But so many things are on the table nowadays. Unfortunately, that was not on the table. I talk like I'm so old, but like even 15, 20 years ago. And we, unfortunately, everything is rationalized, right? There is no rationalization that will allow these Yisurim that we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes, right? Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to know how to talk to girls? How am I going to know how to be married? How am I going to know? It's all rationalization. When it comes to that area, it's 99.9999999% of all these cases, a person is just rationalizing to indulge their Yetzer Hara. So again, as he says, even though people realize that actual arayos are forbidden, but all the other stuff that leads up to actual immorality, the Ramchal quotes the pasuk Lo sugavu legalu serva, do not come close to arayos, do not come close to immorality. Just to quote I'm on page 63 of the third paragraph. Ki ein bechal ha'isser gufo shal ma'isa bovad elakol akar evilav. Right, forget the actual isser of arayos that we're hopefully able to realize it is inappropriate. Right? Anything that leads a person to these types of things. And the pasuk says, right, do not come close to violating arayos. Right? As the Kodesh Baruch Hu fine. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, just to skip a little bit. I take it back. One second. Right, that's what I want to mention. There's all these things he's going to mention in a moment, but don't come close to immorality. Meaning, there's negiah, there's yichud. Right, again, the Ramchal seems to weigh in. He seems to say that there's a machlokas. I'm sure that you guys, you know, talk about it in Sam, that whether negiah is daraisa or darabanan. The Rambam in Mitzvot Shin Nun Gimel says it's Daraisa based on this pasuk. The Ramban says it's the Rambanan. The Ramchal seems to be kind of explaining like the Ramban if you read the text that says it's the Rambanan. But still, we're gonna see in a second that it's just as serious. But basically, there are all these things that lead up to Arayah. So now the next paragraph is where it connects to Nazir, and that's why I kind of had to stop myself. Okay, the Ramchal quotes the Medrash that compares immorality, Arayos, to a Nazir. Now, what is the comparison? So first of all, what is a Nazir? Nazir is someone who takes an oath, takes a vow, and says, I'm not going to drink wine. I'm not going to drink wine. The Medrash says that the parshios of Nazir and Sota are back-to-back. And that's on purpose. And the Torah, they're back-to-back in Parshios Naso. And that's on purpose, because a person, as I think it's either Gemara or Medrash, the Gemara says that that a person sees the degradation of a Sota and therefore swears off wine, because they don't want to drink wine, they don't want wine to lead to anything inappropriate. So a Nazir, right, someone who has taken steps to avoid Isurim, and not necessarily Isra, he's added on an Isra to himself, but because he wants to avoid things that are Taivadik, right? Drinking wine causes him to bring to Arayos, etc. Now, the halacha for a Nazir is that the only Isra involved is he's not allowed to drink wine. But midrabanan, he's not allowed to eat grapes, drink grape juice, etc. And that's the comparison that the Ramchal here makes, right, quoting the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, between Arayos and Nazir, in the sense that just like Nazir, the Isra is, what's the Isra by Nazir? Can't drink wine. What's the Arayos Isra by Arayos is, don't have anything physically inappropriate with someone who's usher to you. But there are things that are before that, right? There's, you can't eat grapes, you can't drink grape juice, any things that could lead you to drinking wine. So too by Arayos, there are things that could lead a person to inappropriate physical relationships, and those things are usher as well. And explained to Rav Miller that the Torah gave an example of something, and the reader is supposed to understand that that's the rule. But the Torah chose the example of Nazir to teach us that when dealing with any Isser, that, you know, human nature has a tendency to be drawn towards it, right? So you have to put a fence, right? You shouldn't walk up to a cliff without a railing, right? You need to put a fence so you don't fall off a cliff. Right? So Chazal understood from Hashem's examples, right, that you need to make a siyag, you need to make a fence. And those fences are for our protection. And that's what the Dinim Derabanan mostly are. Yes, sometimes there are chumras that don't make sense. I was in a barbecue yesterday at Gansakar. Someone walked up with a bag of marshmallows, said, do you eat this heksher? Now, I happen to know the heksher. The heksher was Igud Derabanan, is a very good heksher. And some people don't eat certain heksherim in Eretz Yisrael, not because the heksher is lousy, but because of politics. Okay, fine. So sometimes there are these chumras that are a little bit, dare I say, ridiculous. But the derabanans are proper fences for serious cliffs. And Kosh Baruch Hu already shows us in a bunch of places, where there's something called a siyag d'oraisa, a fence that the Torah made, so you don't go from point A to point B. The example here is Nazir, right? That the Rabbanan made, that the Chazal made, that it's proper to make such fences in areas that need them. And that Nazir is what's called a binyan av. It teaches us the rule. So we need to make fences in areas that human nature is drawn for. And the Ramchal points out that therefore we have a whole slew of items, right, that are usher to guard us from our ayos, right? Touching, seeing, hearing, speaking, thinking, right? And the Ramchal goes on, right, to discuss each one of them, just on page 64, on page Samach Dalet, if you're following along. The first one, right, b'maisa, right, touching, hugging, kissing, right, he says, k'far nisbar, that's clear, ein tzarech laharich, he does not need to elaborate. Now, if Miller pointed out that, unfortunately, that may have been true back in the day, by the Ramchal's day, but unfortunately, nowadays, with touching, there are plenty of gray areas. Could be back then there were no gray areas, right, and rationalizations for touching. Nowadays, unfortunately, there are plenty, right? You know, if we know the phrase derech chiba, that only touching could be that only touching in a endearing way is usur. That phrase is thrown out around a lot in a lot of the tshuvas, and people use that, frankly, inappropriately as an excuse for several other touching things. Oh, it's not derech chiba, it's not endearing. Well, maybe it is. For example, just in France, you know, they kiss on the cheek or they kiss a person's hand. Is that normal? Is that derech chiba? What about a handshake? Right? Again, the handshake is a famous example, right? You have Chuvis, part of Moshe, etc. A lot of people think that Rav Moshe was fine with a handshake. I don't know. A careful reading of his Chuvas didn't seem like he was so happy with it. We do handshakes between men and women. Okay. But again, where do you draw the line? The Mida here of Nikios says view it objectively. It doesn't tell you one way or another. It might be mutter, Right? But the goal is to take yourself out of the equation, is to view it as if, as Ramon explained, to view it as if you're a Martian and you have no inclination for these things and decide objectively. Right? You could use Ramosha's Tshuvas, you could use all the writings of the Chazal, right, and figure out right on your own. Right? So that's Nagia, that's Maisa, that's touching, that a person right certainly does have to kind of view objectively. Re'iya, says the Ramchal, well, in the last paragraph on page 64. So, unfortunately, nowadays, right, that's much more difficult, right, with all the phones and technology, etc. Right, he quotes a bunch of Chazals over here, Goron Brachos, Goron Shabbos, right, Sukkim and Mishlei, that looking at women and looking at men is not usher. And again, he talks about here from the male perspective that these are more relevant to men, as you'll see, but as we explained, I don't know if you guys took advanced halacha, I don't remember, but we explained that simply because men and women's brains are wired differently, that unfortunately men have much more wild imaginations, so the surah more apply to men than they do for women. But okay, again, but that's just how he frames it over here. But basically, re'iyah is unfortunately much more difficult nowadays. Right? Again, the gazing for the purpose of benefit, the purpose of hana, that's what's also over here. He quotes, shekal mistakel betz mektana shel isha. He quotes an off-quoted Gemara in Brachos that even if a man looks at a woman's pinky in order to derive benefit, so that's usher. And it sounds insane, but again, unfortunately, men have wild imaginations, and if that's what leads them to inappropriate thoughts, if that's what floats your boat, so that is usher. Right? That is inappropriate. And again, it's not usher to look at a woman, but that you shouldn't, you know, keep your head down and never ever make eye contact. That's inappropriate and that's unnecessary and probably insulting. But the goal is chacham enav barosho, that a person should realize that there's a slippery slope, should cut off any issues before they begin. I remember when I was dating downtown in New York City, there was a certain billboard. It was a store. I don't remember which store, but it was inappropriate. I remember we walked around. Right? You could get one way to get to the restaurant. You had to walk straight, and you could walk past it, or you had to make a right and go around the corner. So all the guys, it was a running joke, we would all make a right on whatever street it was. I don't know, 35th Street or whatever it was, and avoid the corner of, God knows where, I don't know, 34th and 8th, I don't know, whatever it is, right, just to avoid looking at the store. So again, that's the point, that you should kind of make these siyagim, you should think about it, right? Take the right, make the right efforts to kind of avoid falling into these issues. And dibur, the Ramchal writes, and this is, he's going to delineate, not delineate, he's going to deviate and start talking about something else. We'll kind of like cap it here. But he quotes an off-quoted line, kol hamar b'sicha me'isha gorim ra la'atzmo, anybody who talks with a woman too much causes bad things to himself. And now, again, just to explain, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to talk to women, or men are not allowed to talk to women. Sicha, the phrase sicha, usually connotes what's called dibur betela, that the kind of like hefker speech, right? Usually the type of conversation that creates a social connection. So that's what the Perek said in Perkei Avos, that's what it is. If a person does that a lot, so that cause issues, right? That should only be done in a mutter manner when a person is looking for marriage, etc., etc. So that's in terms of speech, and in terms of shmias, in terms of hearing. So then you know, right? Then a kol isha erva, right? That's kol isha is a thing, and that's something that a person to avoid. Okay, hello, how are you? So Ramchal is going to use this to jump and deviate to talk about nibble peh and all these other things. He'll talk about so we're going to call it over here, but basically these are two things that a person needs to avoid rationalizing, and obviously it takes a lot of effort, but you know, he says that when a person is aware of the isurim that a person is drawn after naturally, so then he'll put in more effort to be able to avoid those yitzharas. Alright, Mitzvah Shem, we'll go vayter in this parak next week. And I'll try and find a decent place to stop. I'm not sure if we'll get to the end because it really is. It's like 30 pages of this parak.